Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about ways to stop building stories in your head and get to the root of what's holding you back in your sex life. Topics include why you shouldn't make assumptions about your relationship and just talk to your partner already. All the reasons why porn and sex in movies is not like sex in real life. Open relationship jealousy. How do you deal? And what does your partner really mean when they ask you to be more erotic? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Secret institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, that feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. All the great blogs. We're putting up a lot of great posts lately, so check those out. Also, we love when you subscribe on iTunes and comment or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's been amazing. You guys should check it out. You can get a free 30-day trial. Visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can also call in with your questions during the week, 888-947-8277. And also all social media at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Twitter, all the places. And happy almost Valentine's Day, everyone. If you need some great last minute Valentine's Day tips, you can also find them on our site and our social media. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the show. All right, guys. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Got a lot of people here. Great day. So many fun people in the studio. Got new staff, new people. But I want to talk to you guys tonight about something that's been on my mind. And I just want to say this. Something you should know about me. I am not a pusher. Meaning, I don't make people listen to my show that I'm friends with or my family. I've never said, hey, did you guys hear the latest episode? Episode 182. Or now it would be like episode 5086. Like, I don't make that assumption. And also, I know we're all busy, so I probably missed your benefit and I didn't go to, you know, watch your short film link that you sent me, and I probably didn't wish you a happy birthday on Facebook. Sorry, but happy birthday, really. I'm just not paying attention to everything you're doing, and I'm cool if you're everyone in the world that I know personally isn't listening to the podcast or the radio show on SiriusXM, because I know enough of you do, and it helps you, and you like it, and it's changing lives. So I feel good about that. And, you know, again, with like people you love, I'm just not going to say, hey, you should listen to this sex thing. But last night, I got a call from a friend. I got back from dinner, and she called me, and it was pretty late. It was like 10 o'clock. And she's like, Emily, you know, you should really talk about couples and connection on your show more. You should talk about how couples can learn to connect again. And, you know, don't just tell me to, like, buy a vibrator and to you know, buy lingerie and do something. I'll give more blowjobs to my husband. You know, we've been together 20 years. And, you know, 15 years, we have 3 kids, and I just think that you need to talk about that. And I was like, back up. What? Have you listened to the show? Because all I'm thinking is, weird, that's not all I talk about. I know that's the perception. She's like, okay, well, I've listened to like 2 episodes.
Oh, my God.
I was like, 2 episodes out of literally 5,000 podcasts, and how many we've been doing on Sirius since November? We've had a lot of shows, like 10 hours a week. I mean, I can't even add it up right now.
You don't even get that many blowjob questions.
No, I don't.
Well,
exactly. And that's the thing that pissed me off, because I actually, last night, we got our first like specific, how do I spice up my blowjob question, which, don't get me wrong, we could all stand to learn a new tip or two. But for all the years that I've been talking about, you know, sex, and I've had this podcast called Sex with Emily, I understand that it's come with this stigma of sorts, which is definitely lessened over 14 years. But I think that people, you know, do make assumptions around it. Like, oh, even my mom was like, I tell all my friends, this is, you know, she's a little better now. You have a show about relationships. And I think also, you know, maybe you go to our website, there are a lot of sex toys and stuff like that. But it just like pissed me off. I was like, sweetie, listen, I can help you. So she said, well, what about the people like me who have been married and we just never want to have sex with our partners anymore? I mean, I want to know how to want to have sex with them, but I don't think it's more blowjobs. I was like, okay, sweetie, why don't you guys come to my house this weekend, sit on my couch, and I'm going to talk to you guys about how to really, really connect. She's like, fine, but I'm not using a rabbit or a squid.
A squid?
There isn't a squid vibrator, but maybe, you know, maybe there could be one day. She's like, you should just be like Oprah. You should be like Oprah. I'm like, I am like the Oprah of sex. She's like, okay. I want to know how to connect. And I just thought people make assumptions around sex, and this has been happening for a really long time. Like when I first started, I remember I had an agent at the time, and they were like, well, God, Sex with Emily, that's a great name. What a great brand. Too bad you're going to have to change the name.
Why?
I was like, right. I was like, why? And he's like, well, no one will ever sponsor a show like that. And it just, you know, it's sex. I mean, this was 14 years ago, but it turns people off. I was like, I'm never changing the name. This is what the show is about. So this is where it is. This is what I'm doing. And I just was really feeling like it's, I know, you know, there's so many people that listen to the show every night in Sirius. We have millions of listeners to the podcast every month. And I thought to myself, God, I really would wish that the people that I am closest to, my closest friends, did listen more to it, because I know that I could help them. And of course, if they call me, I'm happy to help. But I thought there still is this barrier around sex and this taboo around sex, and then all these assumptions. And, you know, assumptions just, they really don't serve us in life and in relationships.
That, what's that like old saying about assumptions?
You make an ass out of me and you.
You and me.
You and me.
Oh, yeah.
Assume. A-S-S-U-M-E. If you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. And then I was thinking that, you know, we do this in relationships so much. I get a lot of you call in, as you might want to do tonight, 888-947-8277. And you'll say, like, declarative statements like, my wife just doesn't like when I go down on her. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Well, because I tried it once or twice at the beginning and she told me she didn't like it. And I'm like, well, how long ago? That was 6 years ago. So you're still assuming that one time or twice she didn't want it. Maybe now she does. And this would be a conversation you could have to like clear it all up. Because the assumptions, when we assume things and then we don't ever address them with our partners, this is when the resentments build. And then we start resenting our partners for things that aren't even true. You know, like our thoughts are not facts. Like the things that we think are true are not necessarily facts. Like the only true thing is like in the present moment, having a conversation with your partner and asking them, you know, hey, I've been getting this feeling that you're not into oral. Is that true? Like, let's talk about it. Or how can we make it better for you? And so I was just going off on this whole thing last night, and I tried to do an Instagram story on it, but it cut off because it was too long. So I said, you know what? I'll just tell everyone tomorrow.
Yeah,
on the show.
It's better.
I'll tell them all. I was like on a rant. I was like, God damn it. I just wish that everyone could get over whatever it is in their life that's keeping them from getting the sex help that they need. And listen to the show or talk to people or talk to friends. And I was thinking about this whole notion of like, of just making assumptions. And a cool thing is, I remember it was a date with a guy. It wasn't a great date, but I did get a good fact from him, a good tip. And he said, you know, in my company, whenever we walk around the office and we start worrying about, like, maybe, you know, I assume that my office mate is upset with me because I turned in my report late. And like for 2 weeks, he keeps making eyes at me and I'm saying, oh God, he's upset. That they go up to him and they say, you know what, buddy? Let me check a story. Mm. I'm going to check a story with you. And I'm curious. I'm getting the sense that my lack of meeting the deadline on this report was a problem for you, is it? And then you give your partner or your teammate mm-hmm. or someone at work like the opportunity to check you and say, you know what, that's actually not true. Here's what is true.
Or even if it is true, you can nip it in the bud right there and just get to the bottom of it.
Exactly. Like, nip it in the bud. Like, I was thinking about relationships. People are in relationships for so long, 10, 15, 20 years. And I was thinking, I could fast track your divorce in like 2 years or less. Like, let's, like, don't waste 20 years in a relationship. Here's what you need to know. Here's how we can fast track divorces.com. Because if you don't want to be in a relationship, but you've been silently suffering through it, like, let me help you figure out if you should stay or you should go. And that could just be a phone call. It could be going to therapy. The cool thing about therapy, which I often talk about, isn't just because you can get all of your feelings and emotions out, which are important. Mm-hmm. Understand why you have certain issues from childhood. They also help, you know, if you go in a relationship counseling, they can help you guys communicate better. But they fast track it. Like, they fast track all the things that you, all the stumbling blocks, and help you realize, like, can we take a go at this? Can we move our relationship forward, or should we break up? Because I think that when people fester in these issues, like my friend who called me last night,
yeah,
there was nothing new in her situation. We've been friends for 20 years and the issue she called me about had been going on for 7. And I'd say every time I talk to her, it's pretty much a version of the same thing. And
seven, I don't, wait, 7 years?
7 years about. They haven't had great sex. Maybe 5. God. Like, never been so happy with the sex life. But he always wants more. Years.
That's a long time.
They've been together for 20, right? It's a long time. But that's the one point. I was like, can you guys just fly to LA and sit on my couch for this weekend for like 3 hours and I'll help you. So that's, you know, let's all just talk about it. Talk about sex. Call me up with your questions. Talk to your partner about it, or relationships. And it's not just sex and blowjob tips, as I was saying. I was like, it's really not. And I thought, God, a lot of what we're talking about is actually how to communicate about sex, how to talk to your partner about what you need and what you desire in the relationship, not just sex, but everything. Like, I need you, I need to feel seen by you. I need to feel more loved by you. This is what it would look like for me to feel safe in the relationship if you, you know, did A, B, or C for me. If you often planned dinners more, or you came home from work a little bit earlier, or we had a date night, that would make me feel like our relationship had the longevity, or it would make me feel safe and loved. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
All right, we have Nate, 30, in New Jersey, and he's got a porn question.
All right. Hey, Nate.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Great. What's going on, Nate? Happy Monday.
So, I didn't do enough research on this. That's why I'm calling you.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, you know, this could obviously get in the way of many relationships. How authentic is porn? Meaning, you know, I can't get anal to, you know, to save my life. She never wants to do it. And you see these girls on porn, they're getting, like, two penises at once.
Oh,
you know,
God. That... No,
you
Nate.
Know, and then like they're swallowing cum like it's soda, and like
it's not real cum, by the way. Okay, so Nate, this is my favorite question. I'm so glad you asked this question because you have to remember this: that porn, there's nothing in it that's real. Like literally, it is not real. It is script. It's entertainment. It's created, you know, for men's enjoyment, for men's pleasure. This is why sex is really messed up right now. And you know me, I'm always like, porn's cool if you're in a relationship or on your own. If it turns you on, that's great. But porn should never, ever, ever be taken, like, technically how you should learn how to have sex. So that's where I come in. That's where there's some great books out there and you can read about. But no, porn, women don't all love anal at all. When you see all that, whatever, she's swallowing pounds of semen and it's all fake. It's not real semen. It's all props. Yeah, really. Really. I'm not saying some of it's not real. I'm telling you, we should probably get some more porn stars on the show. It's been a while. Like, they will tell you. So it's great to get turned on by it, but I don't want you to be disappointed by the women that you're with, Nate, because they're not acting like the girls in porn, because those women are paid actresses. They get paid to do certain things and to do certain moves, but it's not real.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Bye, Nate. Thanks for calling. Hate to burst his bubble. He sounded kind of bummed. Right?
No,
he's like, God damn it. Yeah, I thought when I had sex, when I invited a woman over, she'd show up with six friends and there'd be an orgy. I feel like Nate...
brought up a really interesting topic.
He did.
I like it.
Nate just called and he brought up a really interesting topic. He wants to know if porn is real. Like, do women really love drinking supersized gulps of semen?
It's the new flavor at 7-Eleven.
Right. Oh, God. I mean, I think women enjoy all different kinds of things, but not the gallons and gallons you see in porn. And I can tell you that not all semen that you see in porn is actually real semen, just like fake blood in the movies, you know?
I think you just
like
blew gore scenes. So many people's minds with that.
I know. So people will assume that everyone is having a real orgasm in porn. I mean, maybe they think, I understand why people would think that.
They do a good job at making
right?
it seem like
it
that.
Seems just like an orgasm.
So shout out to the production value.
Shout out. Good production value, but not real life. Like, that's what I always say when people grow up watching porn and that's how you've learned about sex or you've watched it on TV. This is what we're trying to unlearn, all the things that you are, in air quotes, learning from porn. I think porn is great for titillation, for inspiring, for figuring out maybe what turns you on or fantasies or maybe what you don't like. But I really, really think we need more realistic sex on TV and in film. Even if you're not watching porn, I believe that we've all gotten so used to the way we see sex portrayed in movies and television. And it's like two people get into bed, maybe they make out for a second and they fall into bed as the sun's setting, the bed's perfectly made and they get there and there's no foreplay. Like, you never see foreplay in movies or like awkward taking off the clothes. Or maybe if you do, then it cuts right to the post scene where they're both like having orgasms in unison or something. But we don't see all of the what goes into sex, or the fumbling for a condom, or getting lube, or, you know, you just really see two people like exploding in ecstasy. And I just think that, I know that I didn't grow up watching a lot of porn, but I thought in movies, like, woman gets on top or man on bottom, the penis goes in vagina. We're talking about hetero sex here, and there's an explosive orgasm, and that there's something wrong with me, probably because I'm not having an orgasm. Mm-hmm. Just through intercourse,
even
like with, most women.
Yeah, even with like, you know, like same sex
stuff
encounters.
Yes,
because there's this show that I absolutely love called Queer as Folk.
Yes,
I love that show. It's so good, and like, there's a lot of really hot sex scenes in there. But it's like, I never see any lube. I never see any condoms. It's all like, it's just so fast and so quick. I'm just like,
right.
There's no way that he just stuck it in
exactly
without
warm
any
up,
lube.
Right. Exactly. It's true in all kinds of sex. And I understand that there's limits on television and there's limits in movies too.
I understand that, but it would be really cool if you could just, if someone could show like just an accurate portrayal of like what happens, like you fumble and things don't always work, or sometimes you're not turned on and your partner is, or like it just takes a while to get warmed up.
Yeah, I think
you know, women can't orgasm right away.
Most I think it's a cop out when they're like, oh, well, there's not enough time to show all that. I think that's a cop out. They can at least show a couple seconds of it.
Show a couple seconds.
They can show a couple seconds of the penetration. They can show
some other oral stuff. I feel like there's been a little bit more oral, like for men going down on women or whoever going down on women in recent, you know, years. But I just don't think it's, you know, realistic. I think that I believe that it's just that, yeah, it's the, you know, thrusting of the penis and the woman explodes. But I think that you can do it right. There are ways they've done it right in television lately.
Yeah, movies. Like in Love, at least they use like, they use the magic wand.
Right. I love Love.
I love Love.
That's such a good, it's a show on
Netflix.
And yeah, she pulls out the magic wand. And you know what I love about that scene? There's a scene where they're having sex, when they're together, and she just pulls out the magic wand without any weirdness. It might have been the first time they had sex, I think. It was a very early on scene. And she's like, yep, I'm using my toy, which is just how I wish that, I love that. Like that women, a lot of women, I'll remind you, maybe we haven't talked about this today. Or maybe even in the new year, that only 20% of women orgasm during intercourse alone. Because no fault of the penis or fault of whatever else isn't being inserted. It's because we lack clitoral stimulation. We just don't get enough clitoral stimulation or warm up. So if you can show that, if you can do that, if they could show that in movies, warm up, foreplay. Yeah,
there's this movie you should watch called Sleeping with Other People. That's also on Netflix, and they do have a couple scenes. One, there's a scene of the main dude, and he's having sex with this chick, and they're going at it like all over the place, all over the room. It's crazy. And again, in between that, they showed so many different scenes, yet they didn't show any foreplay. I'm just saying that's a part where they could have slipped it in, no pun intended. And afterwards, he's like, "Oh, that was amazing! Like, how was it for you?" She's like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "Well, did you orgasm?" She's like, "Well, no, but I don't really orgasm from sex. Like, don't take it personally." And it was such a real moment, right? Though. Like, that moment in of itself is so real. Because she's like, don't take it personally. It's just, that's what it is. And then there's another scene later where the main chick is having sex with someone else. And she's, like, teaching him, like, how to, like, touch the clitoris.
Right.
And it's like, she has, like, this amazing orgasm. And it's like, see, that's why.
Right. When you teach it right, exactly. That's why. It's the clitoris. And I think that... isn't that funny that that's so revolutionary that a woman laid over and said, oh, no, I don't come through penetration. Like, we never see that, but only 20% of women do. But yet, since the beginning of time, that's all we've ever seen. I want to see more of that. More clitoral stimulation.
Yeah, or like...
more talking, more realistic sex.
If there's ever a scene, not always, but for most people, I want to assume, if there's ever a scene in a movie where the guy's about to go down on her and she's like, no, I just want you inside, that's not...
that's realistic,
because I would way rather you go down on me than just you stick your penis in.
Well, again, I think it goes into being pleasers and not wanting to speak up for what we really want in bed for men and for women. I think that we're so afraid of the rejection and our partners saying, like, running away screaming because we asked for something we want. This is going to be the huge change that we're going to see. So thank you, everyone, for listening and supporting the show and calling in and telling your friends to listen. Is that eventually, like, very soon, I think we're coming to this place where we're going to realize that, like, it's not what we've been told in porn or in movies or in television. And I think the more that people speak up, women and men, about what they really want in a loving way, it's not because your partner is not a bad lover if you've never told them. They're probably not even anyway. If you've never told them what you truly want, if you've never had that conversation ever about like what actually feels good to you, and even if that conversation goes something like, you know, I'm not really sure what I like, I know that penetration doesn't do it for me, let's figure it out together, how great would that be? What like, let's figure it out. It's you're not broken, there's nothing wrong with you if you're not having pleasure the way you've seen it on television or the way you expect in your mind you should be having the pleasure.
Let's talk to Mia. She's 37 in California, and she said her husband wants her to be more erotic, but she doesn't know how.
Okay, let's talk about it. Hey, Mia.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. Tell me what's going on.
So, been married for about 7 years, and the other day after having sex, my husband texted me and said, thank you for wonderful sex, and it was so erotic, but I don't find it that it was erotic, but I think maybe he is hinting that he wants to have me go to that level of erotics, but I don't even know where to start without scaring him or Googling it.
Well, wait, okay, so Mia, so he said to you, thanks for that sex, it was so erotic. And then you read it as a secret message where he didn't really mean that sex was erotic, that you should be more erotic.
Yes, because that's a word we've never used in our texts. So it's a brand new word.
So erotic, I mean, here's the thing. First of all, it's such a good question, Mia. And so that's interesting that he used that word. You're right. You guys have been together, you said 7 years? And he's never said it. So you got to go back and say, tell me what was it that was so hot about it? I mean, yes, I loved having sex with you, but what stuck out for you as erotic? And then have him tell you. And so that's one thing, just to find out what he means by that. But erotic means something that really, this is just like talking about kink. You kind of get to decide for yourself what is erotic. But erotic can be kissing, the way that you guys, maybe you kiss differently. Maybe you slowly, you know, took his clothes off or went down on him or you talk dirty. That could be erotic for people. Or usually it's when, I like to think of it as things going a little bit like maybe slower or a little bit more like, you know, dirty talk or something. Was there anything different about that one time that you remember?
Well, I actually thought he was being more aggressive and erotic because he has been working out and he lost about 20 pounds. So he felt more like into it and passionate because we haven't done that in a while.
Oh.
So I'm thinking maybe he felt erotic and he used the word erotic.
Yeah, I think
that he was.
That's exactly what it probably was. He probably feels like really good in his body and he like was rougher or took control. And how did you feel about it?
Yeah.
Did you think it was hot, too?
Oh, my God, that was like a new guy.
See, that's amazing. Yeah. So, Mia, that's to him, that's erotic. Like, so to you, do you have any, like, fantasies or anything that you'd be into that maybe you haven't tried yet?
Oh, definitely. Yes, the whole handcuff kind of thing and stuff like that, which we've talked about it, but I think it might be a good time to bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, Mia, this is so great because I think it sounds like he's ready. Like he's like, oh my God, that was so hot. So what I love about this is like, the conversation's almost already started. Say, yeah, that was erotic, or tell me what was the most erotic part for you. And then you could say, we've talked about handcuffs, you know, and then you guys could go shopping together. Yeah. And that's so fun. You guys could go to a sex toy store near you. You're in California. I don't know where you are exactly, but like there's a lot of great stores here. You could, you know, go to our website if you want to shop online. And then you like order cuffs and it's really fun to get those in the mail and then play with them. Get some blindfolds, get some massage candles. Massage candles to me are super erotic because, you know, you can each give each other a massage. They're regular candles. You blow them out. They you pour them on your partner. It's like oil that's not waxy or hot. I mean, it's amazing. So to me, this is exciting. And I think it's just a matter of you guys figuring out what erotic means to both of you.
Yes. The other night you were talking about ask your spouse or your partner three questions or these questions about sex, but not in bed. I think it was something to the extreme of what is your fantasy or a desire? So we can open that conversation.
Yes, exactly. That's what you should. Yeah. What is your fantasy? Okay. What's your turn on? What are three things that you want to try? You know, that what are three things that you've been fantasizing about? It's like called a sexual bucket list.
Okay.
And you guys could each write three things down and then exchange it. And then you get to prioritize it. And then you're like Saturday night cuff. You know, we're doing the cuffs and then we're going to watch read erotica together in the bathtub. And then we're going to, you know, I'm going to give you a massage with a candle and then ice cubes. So we're going from hot to cold. You know, you guys get to decide together. So I know the conversation seems like, how do I have it? But really it's just like, yeah, that was erotic. And let's do this too. Or let's talk about sex. And then you're going to just, the whole world's going to open up for you. Your whole sexual world.
Thank you so much.
Why not? It's your husband and it's getting hotter. I love it. Keep it going and keep me posted.
Thank you.
Okay, you're so welcome. Thanks, Mia. Thanks for calling.
Okay, we're going to talk to Brian, who's 29 in Canada, and he has an open relationship question.
All right. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling.
Hey, Emily, how's it going?
Great. Tell me what's going on.
Well, so me and my fiance have been together for 8 years and recently decided to open up the relationship. And we talked about it for months and months and made rules and did all the things you're supposed to do.
Great.
And now when it's getting down to the nitty gritty, we decided to try at the beginning to go on dates on the same nights.
Okay. That makes sense.
Trying to, you know, try and balance it out and get used to things. And now, of course, tonight when we are supposed to both go on a date, mine canceled.
Ooh.
So now I'm at home.
Brian!
Hanging out with the dog. And no backup plans. And it's tough.
Oh, Brian, so, I'm with you right now. I'm feeling you. That's hard. Yeah.
So I was just, I mean, and, you know, I trust her and we have rules and boundaries. And I don't think she's going to go past those or anything. It's just hard to let your mind wanders and all that kind of stuff, right?
So. Right, right. Well, I think this is a great... Yeah, no, thanks for calling because we're here for you. I feel like I wish we could hang out with you all night just till she comes home so you don't let your mind wander. I wish I could do that, Brian. That is a tricky
one.
Well,
I'll listen to you all night.
Okay, good. No, but Brian, this is going to be... You know, this is going to give you some time to sit and think about it. But I also think, you know, the more you could, like, keep yourself busy tonight, do some things you want to do, watch some movies, watch television, and not let your mind go to the negative places. So, you know, what are your... I guess it's important to think about what are your plans for when she comes home. Tonight.
Right, that's another thing that gives me anxiety, right? It's like when she comes home and I'm like, okay, what happened? And then she says, oh, XYZ. And then I go, oh,
right.
Well, I didn't do any of that stuff.
Does she know your date canceled?
Yes.
Okay. So are your boundaries? Did you have boundaries like against, like, what are the boundaries? Could she have sex tonight?
Boundaries are like no penetrative sex.
Okay.
Yeah, but everything else is kind of fair game. And tonight was kind of the night where we had been on like few, like, you know, whatever, week dates and like some other kind of little dates before. But tonight was kind of like the night where we were going to go and stay out all night type of thing.
Right. Oh, God, yeah. Brian, it's killing me right now. Well, just know that your time is going to come. Like, you'll have a date next week or it'll happen. But right now... I think it's right now you're in that jealousy fate. You're like, she's out and how am I going to react? But the truth is, even if you went out tonight, Brian, you could have gone out with someone and there wasn't this woman who canceled. But let's say you went out and there wasn't a connection, but she came home and she had this amazing night, amazing connection. She can't wait to see this guy again. So this is actually, maybe this is a good thing because this is going to happen anyway. Like that could have totally happened and you might have come home and had a bad date and that could suck too. So I think that there might be a way just to ask her calmly, like, how was her night? And maybe there's a way to let that information turn you on. Maybe it could be some fuel that actually gets you aroused when she's telling you about what happened. That, you know, that's one thing. You could, you know, I think that just, you don't want to blow this out of the water because your date, the thing is, you don't want to, you guys have done all the right things, it sounds like. You've set the boundaries, the rules, you've talked about it, you went slow and had dates during the week. Truly, the only bummer is that tonight your date canceled, but that doesn't mean that your whole, you have to throw out the entire open relationship plan because of this one, you know, snafu.
Of course.
Think either you could...
It's hard sitting here.
I know. What could you do tonight? Is there anything like watch some movies? Well, I'll be on for another hour. Yeah?
Yeah, it's a good test though, right? It's a good test of, you know, we're doing the right things. We did the right things. And there's going to be other times where her date cancels or I don't have a date.
This is what I'm saying.
And as this evolves, we're planning on hopefully doing it for the long term. So, I mean, it's
a really good test. Yeah, it's throwing exactly it. This is a test. This was going to happen anyway. And that's why you guys just continue to talk about it. And a lot of people in open relationships have a lot of bumps in the road early on. And so I think that that's where you do the learning. And then after, you know, a few months or a few years, they're like, oh, yeah, we got over that. You know, we worked through all the kinks. So I just think it's a great test. And it sounds like you've been with her for 8 years. She knows you. She probably knows what you can handle. And I think that the biggest thing is a little bit of FOMO right now, but just don't let this disappointment, you know, when something happens, like I'm just trying to think of like when you miss a flight and you're really excited for a trip and then you miss a flight and then you know all your friends are somewhere that you're supposed to be there and it's really painful because you just can't, you know what I mean, you can't stop it, but you miss missing a party or so that's all it is. Like, this is an isolated for a few more hours incident, or maybe she'll be out tonight, I don't know, but it's not it does, don't let this ruin the entire foundation that you guys have laid out for you. So as long as you keep your head in this game, and I'll be here with you for another hour. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Let me know how it goes. Call me back on Monday. You're going to be fine with this, Brian.
All right, thanks, Emily.
Be strong. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.